Welcome to Bakersfield First Assembly of God's podcast. Pastor James is fired up and ready to preach. I hope you enjoy this sermon.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this great service with God. I'm excited about what the Lord has laid on my heart. We're continuing our series on Seek First, and I just want to review the 96-15 challenge. There are 96 15-minute periods in every day. Give God at least one. Maybe two, but at least one. And so I've encouraged you to, before eating breakfast, before checking your text and email, before logging on to social media, and before reading the news, first thing, seek first thing in the morning, grab a cup of coffee or tea or whatever, and meet with God in a private place with an actual analog Bible. Not one on your phone, because your phone's a distraction. Our phones are a distraction. Leave that in another room. And so follow the four W's. Here they are. Welcome the Lord with worship. Wait upon the Lord and listen. Read the Word of God and release your worries to Jesus. How many know that'll happen easily in 15 minutes? So let's commit to that every day. I've had people share with me that they've been doing it. Let's all do it together. Let's all be committed to this 96-15 challenge that we're going to at least give God 15 uninterrupted minutes each day so he has our full attention. I'm telling you what, you'll start looking forward to those 15 minutes more than anything in your day, more than food, more than anything else, that time that you can be alone with God. So you got to work together if you're a family and have kids. You got to trade off and help each other, because we need to have solitude and silence listening to God's word. And so we're looking at our text, Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. That sounds like a commandment we all should keep. Amen. Do not worry about your life. And then drop down to verse 33. But seek first his kingdom. So on the one hand, we're not to worry about this life, but on the other hand, we're to seek first the kingdom. Our highest priority in life is to seek first the kingdom of God. In the Life Application New Testament, it says this: Jesus' followers must settle the question of priorities and make the kingdom of God their primary concern. To do that, we must consistently honor and represent the kingdom. Then the way we deal with family, friends, work, leisure, etc., will all be transformed. What is most important to you? People, objects, goals, money, pleasure, and other desires all compete for priority. Any of these can quickly bump God out of first place if you don't actively choose to give him first place in every area of your life. And so we are to make God first. He is our priority. There are other things we have to do, and those will come. But it's a matter of doing the right thing at the right time. And we are to actively pray and prepare for the coming of the kingdom of God. Look at Matthew 6, 9, and 10. The disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And this is what Jesus said. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every day we should pray, God, let your kingdom come in my life, in my little arena, in my little world. Let your kingdom rule and reign in my life. And let your will be done. More than anything we need in this, in our life, is the will of God to be manifest. You see, that's the change of being a Christian. Before you were a believer, you did what you wanted to do. You did what you wanted according to your will. But when you become a believer, you surrender your will to God. And you say, God, let your will be done in my life. And I want to tell you, that's the greatest way to live, is in the will of God. And he will take us to some scary places in the will of God. God will take us through the wilderness, through the valley of the shadow of death. But he's there. He's with us. And so the challenge for us is to ask God's will to be done, for his kingdom to come here on this earth as it is in heaven. And so what does the kingdom of God mean? Well, according to George Ladd, who wrote the book Gospel of the Kingdom, he said the kingdom of God belongs to the present as well as the future. It is the rule, the reign, the government of God in this age in the hearts and lives of those who yield themselves to him, and in the next age over all the world. And so in other words, the kingdom of God is the present spiritual rule and reign of Jesus in the hearts and lives of every Christian. And it's also the future literal rule of Jesus over the whole earth after the great tribulation. So right now, the kingdom of God is spiritual. It's here, it's in us, it's in our hearts, and it's in our lives. But someday it's going to be literal. Jesus is going to rule and reign over this earth. It's going to happen. Thank God. We need Jesus in charge, that's for sure. Right now, Jesus should be in charge of your life. And then he will ultimately rule and reign over this earth. And so we've got the present reign of Jesus in our hearts and the future reign of Jesus in the world. And how we live as believers should be governed and guided by God's word. God has written it out for us. He shows us how to live in his word. That's why we've got to read the word. That's why we have to know the word. We have to memorize the word. We need to get it inside of us because that's what will change our life. The more you read the Bible, the more your life will change. It begins to, because the word of God is living and active. It's powerful. It's alive. It's not some dead book or dead words on a page. It is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts right through all the garbage in our life. That's my translation. It cuts right through bone and marrow, it says. And so if we will make the Bible the centerpiece of our life, the guidebook of our life, the map of our life, then we will grow and we will be blessed. Our first and highest loyalty is to the kingdom of God over any earthly kingdom, over any other kingdom, no matter what it may be. No matter who's in the White House, how many know God is greater? No matter what world leader is out there, we serve a God who is higher and is greater. And there may come a day when we'll have to say yes to God and no to this world. The day may be coming. In fact, we know the day is coming. Jesus said it would happen. And so our loyalty, our highest loyalty is to God. And we may be like Peter who had to say, we must obey God rather than men. They were told to be quiet. Don't talk about Jesus. Boy, isn't there an effort to try to silence Christians today? There certainly is. On all the media platforms, there are certain things you can't say. And there is an effort to silence Christians, but we need to let our voices be heard. We speak the truth in love. That is the important thing to understand, to balance it. We speak the truth in love. Jesus came full of grace and truth. And yet, a time may come where we may have to make that choice. Will we serve God or will we serve the world? Now, let's look at the characteristics of the kingdom of God. Number one, the kingdom of God is eternal. It is forever. What do they say? That most civilizations, most kingdoms rise and fall within a couple hundred years? You go from the Roman Empire to the Greco-Roman Empire to all the empires known to man, they eventually fall. Every kingdom of man eventually falls. But the kingdom of God is eternal. Look at Psalms 45, verse 6. Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. And so we see from the scriptures that the kingdom of God is going to last forever. It will never end. And look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel had a vision. He said, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, which is a name for Jesus. One like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days, which is a name for God, and was led into his presence. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All the peoples and nations of men of every language worshiped him. Boy, that'll be a worship service. Won't that be awesome when every tribe and every language worships God? We'll be singing the same song in all sorts of different languages. Oh my goodness, take me, Jesus, now. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away. And his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Aren't you glad this kingdom will never be conquered? The kingdom of God will never be conquered. It's eternal. All other kingdoms of man will eventually fall. But this kingdom will reign forever and ever. Now, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus makes this distinction. He talks about the kingdom of God. He says, then the king will come to those on his right. Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. God has these plans for a long time. Since the creation of the world, he knew you. And he planned to send his son Jesus to die for you and for me, and to establish a kingdom forever. And so the day will come where Jesus will come and claim his kingdom, claim his people. And we see in Revelation 11:15, again, speaking of the eternalness of the kingdom, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. It's several times in scriptures, we know it's true. Jesus' kingdom will never end. He will reign forever and ever. It will not pass away. Another attribute of the kingdom is number two, the kingdom of God is conditional. Not just anyone is automatically part of the kingdom of God. Now, I know it's popular to say when someone passes away that everybody goes to heaven, all dogs go to heaven. But how many know that's not the case? There is a heaven and there is a hell. And that's not a popular message, but it's the truth. And it's a message we need to tell people because we don't want them to go to hell. We want them to enjoy eternity with Jesus forever. And so we have to communicate that message that not everybody is automatically in the kingdom. I'm here to tell you, if you were born into a Christian family, it doesn't make you a Christian. If you're born in America, it does not make you a Christian. Some people think that. That is not the case. It is conditional. It is open to everyone. Everyone and anyone can come into the kingdom of God. However, there are certain prerequisites. Membership to this kingdom is required. And let me tell you, membership has its privileges, as the old commercial goes. But it also has its responsibilities. The first condition of the kingdom is, letter A, repentance. You cannot get into the kingdom of God unless you repent of your sin. And this is so important for us to realize. Repentance is simply acknowledging your sin, asking for forgiveness of your sin, and asking God to help you overcome your sin. That's what repentance is. It's to be going one direction to turn around and go another. And there's no way we can come into the kingdom of God or get into heaven without repentance. And repentance is not a bad thing. You've heard me say it often. It's a wonderful thing. Just think about it. Every time you make a mistake, and we all do, amen? That's the first lie. If you said no, then you need to repent. But we all sin. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of God's glory. And the thing that cancels that sin is repentance. If we acknowledge it, say, God, I've sinned. Please forgive me and help me overcome it. That is what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. It doesn't make us perfect. I remember when I was in high school, my parents bought a Datsun B210. Anybody remember the Datsun B210? Ugliest car known to man. And this car was even worse. It was a little white car, hatchback. And we had been through a hailstorm in Wyoming, Casper, Wyoming. And so the whole car was dimpled. Think this, it's a round white car with dimples. It's a golf ball that I had to drive to school as a high schooler. Let me tell you, it wasn't a chick magnet. I'm telling you here right now. Oh my goodness, that car was just a piece of junk. But it got me from point A to point B. And that's the reality. We can't join the kingdom unless we're willing to repent of our sins. We have to repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Help me be free. Help me overcome. And that's a prayer God always answers. God loves a prayer of repentance. It means we're owning it. We're being open and honest before our God. God loves that kind of openness and honesty. I know you're all waiting for me to finish the story of the Datsun B210, but I can't remember what it was. I've reached that age. Now, if I walk outside, it'll hit me, and then I'll come back in and forget it again. But anyway, maybe before this sermon's over, I'll remember why I even brought that story up. Oh, my goodness. We're moving on. Another prerequisite to enter the kingdom is letter B, change.
Yes.
We have to change. We have to repent, and then we got to make lifestyle changes. We may need to change who we're hanging out with. We certainly need to change the way we're thinking and the way we're acting. And so that's part of being a part of the kingdom of God is there's repentance, and that repentance leads to change. We become a new person. And the disciples, they came to Jesus and they said, who's the greatest in the kingdom? They're really saying, which one of us is the greatest of all time, Jesus? I mean, these guys, they're hooked on this all the time. They keep wanting to know who's going to be the greatest of them, these 12 disciples. And so Jesus said these words. He nailed them in their narcissism. Matthew 18:3. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Change is fundamental to being a believer. The Bible says this is what you were, but now this is who you're going to be. And that change takes a lifetime in some ways. Some changes overnight, automatic, immediate. Other change takes time. But we should all be focused on the call of God that our lives need to change. And if you've been a believer for 50 years, there's still areas of your life that need to change. We all have something that God is working on in our hearts and lives. We have not arrived, but we pursue this change through the power of the Holy Spirit because we cannot do it on our own. We have to want to, though. We have to will to. And this is important. Jesus said you're to be like children. Childlike, not childish. Ooh. We can miss it just by a suffix. It's called a suffix, right? Some of you English teachers out there. Yeah, we're not to be childish. We're to be childlike in our faith, trusting, dependent upon the Lord. I got to see the grandkids a couple days ago. Oh, Elliot and Ember. I've never known love like this. But I just see them as these little babies, and they're just starting to crawl. And you know what's amazing? Nobody teaches them. They just start learning these things, you know. They teeth pop out, and they learn to roll over, and then they start learning to crawl, and it's just amazing. And that's what God wants us to be, just innocent, just right before him, childlike, but not childish. Another requirement for the kingdom is, letter C, humility. Pride has no place in the kingdom of God. Those who want to be great won't be. Because promotion in the kingdom comes through humility. The way you go higher is by going lower. The way you rise up is by kneeling down. That's the principle of the kingdom. There's so many paradoxes in the kingdom of God. That if you want to be first, you need to be last. If you want to advance, then you need to humble yourself. And so promotion in the kingdom comes through humility. Again, being childlike, not childish. Letter D, another precondition for the kingdom is being born again. Nicodemus was a teacher of the law, and he came to Jesus at night because he didn't want anybody to know he was talking to Jesus. He didn't want his buddies, you know, to get after him and he'd be embarrassed. So he came to Jesus at night. And he's wondering, how do you be saved? And Jesus says this in John 3:3. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." And Nicodemus, you know, says, "Well, how in the world am I going to do that?" He thought he was speaking naturally. And he says, "Does a man go back into his mother's womb?" And Jesus said, "You're the teacher of Israel and you don't know this stuff?" I mean, you think about it. Jesus was not educated in the best schools like the Pharisees were. He was just a fishing rabbi and a carpenter. And so they couldn't believe he had such knowledge. And Jesus couldn't believe they had such lack of knowledge. And so we must be born again. And again, that's a wonderful thing. We get a new chance at life. Is there anyone here that if you could live your life over would make any changes? I sure would. Well, I'm here to tell you, when we come to Christ, we are born again. The old is gone, the new has come. We have a second chance at life. And even still, when we falter and fail, if we repent, he will forgive us of our sin. Another necessity for the kingdom is letter E, doing God's will. Jesus said that some people will claim to be Christians, and they'll even do miracles. But he will say, "Away from me, I never knew you." And the reason is because they're not doing the will of God. A condition for being in the kingdom is to do the will of God. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." The evidence that you are in the kingdom is obedience. Obedience is the evidence that you're in the kingdom of God. And again, that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. God calls us to live out his will, his word in our everyday lives. Another quality of the kingdom is number three, the kingdom of God is near. It is near. It is close by. In time and in space, it is near. Listen to this. Luke 21:29-30. Jesus told him this parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you will know that the kingdom of God is near." Are we watching for the signs? I think we're seeing more signs of the coming of Christ than we've ever seen before. Boy, the world's on fire. The world's a mess. And so the Bible says we need to watch for the signs. We need to be reading Matthew 24. We need to be reading Luke 21 because it tells us about the signs. There'll be pestilence. There'll be wars and rumors of war. Oh my goodness. What is going on in the world? Jesus knows. The question is are we ready? Because the kingdom of God is near. It's coming soon. And he's coming for a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. That's us. Sorry, guys, you get to be a bride. We're the bride of Christ. And that's why marriage was given, so we'd have a picture of what it means, our relationship with the Lord. And so the kingdom is near. It's right there. It's so close. Wherever you are, you can reach out, and God is there. Whatever you're going through, God is with you. He is not far from any one of us, the Bible says. All we have to do is call on the name of Jesus, the name that is greater than any other name. May that name be on our lips constantly. Jesus, if you don't know what else to pray, pray his name. Say his name. I love that song that speak the name of Jesus over you. There's power in that name. And he is near to us. He is near. And if we feel distant, or if we feel alone, God hasn't moved. It's us. Draw near. I'm going to ask the worship team to come at this time as we go to communion. I'll finish the rest of this next time. But I just want to ask you, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that we are to examine ourselves. So if you'll get the communion ready, we're going to have a time of worship. and we're to examine our hearts. We're to examine what God is speaking into our lives today. And so I want to see if any of these areas spoke to you. Is the Lord talking to you about repentance? That should be a part of our everyday prayer too. Lord, please forgive me. Forgive me for my sin. Or maybe the Lord is speaking to you today about change. There's areas of your life, you know, you've got to surrender to God. This has got to be different. You can't keep going this way. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about humility. You know, pride is insidious. It's always waiting to take a hold of our hearts, pride. But if you feel like the Lord has been speaking to you about humility, then bring that to the Lord. If you haven't been born again, today's a great day. All you have to do is accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you will be born again. New life, heaven will be your home. And finally, is the Lord speaking to you about doing His will? Praying that His will would be more than your will. That His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God has a will for your life. He has a will for you. But we need to take it from heaven to earth and live it out in our everyday lives. And so let's just take a few moments and worship the Lord as we examine our hearts. And then we'll partake of the communion. Partake. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving your life for us. This bread represents your body that was sacrificed for us. And Lord, I just pray that you would search our hearts and see if there be any area of our life we need to surrender to you. Is there any sacrifice you're calling us to make, Lord? God, we thank you that you sent your Son as that spotless lamb. And so, Father, I pray that we would give you back our lives whole, all of it. We surrender all. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you partake of the bread? Now let's pray over the juice. Jesus, thank you for shedding your blood. It will never lose its power. It has the power to forgive, the power to heal, the power to deliver. The blood of Jesus, there's no greater power. And Lord, I just pray that we would be grateful for your forgiveness. We hold in our hands a cup of forgiveness. It'll always remind us that our sins are gone. Everything we've done that is against your will has been forgiven, and we are free in the name of Jesus. And that's why we take communion. So we never forget the price that was paid. It was free for us, but God, it cost you everything. So now, out of gratitude, we drink in your mercy, your forgiveness, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you take the juice? Would you stand with me at this time? Just want to say I love our Teen Challenge, ladies. We love you so much. Amen. I'm just going to invite our elders to come forward at this time, board members. If you need prayer, if you need someone to stand with you, these folks are here, and God's doing some great things in the altar. If you just want a time to kneel before the Lord, you can come to the altar as well. For the rest of us, let's do our best to keep our conversation to the foyer because people will be here in prayer and worship. And so I speak this blessing over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. You're free to go.
Our worship service begins at 10:30 every Sunday. You can join us in person or online. We broadcast live on both Facebook and YouTube. We would love for you to join us and be our guest this Sunday. Our address is 4901 California Avenue, Bakersfield, California. Thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.